Hello everyone, welcome to the B2B SaaS podcast. I'm your host, Upendra Verma. Today we have Matt Ford with us. Matt here is the co-founder and CEO of a company called Prism FM. Hey Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, really grateful to be here. Thank you.
All right, Matt, let's try to understand what Prism is, right? And why customers are even paying you money in the first place.
I still ask myself that question also, so I don't know if I can answer that for you. All jokes aside, Prism is a vertical SaaS solution for the live music industry. So everyone who professionally plans concerts are live events, comedy, Broadway. They pay us to use our software system, and our software system organizes all elements of planning an event. So from all the financials surrounding event, all the paperwork, the payments, the financial reporting, the accounting, all in one like purpose-built system.
And then who exactly are these people who are paying you, right? So just talk a bit about them.
Yeah, we have a few customer profiles that the software works really well for. Music venue owners, people who run performing arts centers, Broadway organizers. And then we have the talent side of the business, which is talent agency. So people who represent the band. Yeah. And are doing the business of the bookings.
That makes a lot of sense, right? So, and let's move on to understanding a bit about your customers here, right? Because I think it's pretty clear, and it's a clear vertical SaaS here. So just give us some context here, right? How did it even start, right? How did you sort of, come up with this idea of, starting a SaaS in this particular vertical niche, right? What's your background and how did it all start for you?
Well, first off, I didn't even know the word vertical SaaS, to be honest, until I was many years into building Prism. So I didn't start off aspiring to create a vertical SaaS company. It just so happened that it worked out that way. I've just been following my passion. So taught myself how to code in college, started a company. It was successful in the live music space. We had hundreds of thousands of users. I worked with a bunch of really got something off the ground and proven myself. And then a lot of projects just started coming my way. And one of those projects that I found really interesting was a festival system that I helped build out with a partner, just a way for people to organize music festivals. And I actually dogfooded the technology myself and started a music festival so that I could really understand the technology. I was early 20s, pretty scrappy, crazy idea to just say, I'm a tech guy. Let me just start up a festival. But the festival really worked, and it led to me getting a bunch of opportunities to book venues in and around Austin. I ran the festival for 4 years. I almost became a concert promoter. I almost lost my identity as a tech entrepreneur and became a concert promoter. And I think, that's what helped me deeply understand the space. And then just through my experiencing the problem myself and meeting other organizers of concerts, I saw that they were all running their business off of spreadsheets, that betting together QuickBooks with calendars, with spreadsheets, and no one had a really great kind of system of truth. And given my software background, I could see that and made it come to life and called it Prism, and I've been working on it ever since. And this was about we officially launched in 2018. It took all of 2017 to build it and get it off the ground, and then 2018 was our coming out year.
Got it. And what exactly were you doing before you started Prism? Were you doing some sort of consultancy, or what was that exactly?
Yeah, so there was a company that predated Prism, and it was part concert promoter and part software. So I had created an Airbnb for venues and artists to match. So I had over 1,000 bands signed up in Austin, and I was really mostly using it myself to have a roster of bands that I was booking personally. We never really succeeded in getting other kind of professional venues to use the software. I don't think it was the right. I've seen this kind of idea get tried many, many, many times, Airbnb for booking. And there's many reasons why I could tell you why I don't think it is economically feasible, at least currently. That led me realizing that it wasn't the core booking kind of network that the industry needed. It was more of a Salesforce.com super customized for the industry to handle the fire hose that they all are drinking from on a daily basis, as opposed to adding more complexity to their organization. So that's what I was doing for Prism. It was part booking, part software system.
All right. So let's come back to today, right? So how many customers are we talking about today? How many paying customers are using Prism today?
We have 315 organizations, something like that, booking over 10,000 venues around the world and 100,000 concerts. And in total, there's about $1 billion of payments flowing through Prism.
And then give us a sense of how they pay you. Is it simply a subscription-based platform, or do you take a cut on, you know, in terms of the revenue that goes through your platform? What happens?
It's purely a subscription right now, which is determined by the size of their business, by a sales rep, and it's upsold on renewal. Like, we don't currently have any automation built into the SaaS fees, like, oh, turn on this module or add a user count, or we don't have anything feature gated really. Yeah. It's just we have account management that handles upsell and sales reps that really right size the deals as they come in. We do plan to take eventually a cut of transactions processed through Prism, but that's not yet. We're not doing that yet.
And then how big of a deals are we talking about, Matt, here? So approximately, is it $1,000 deal? Is it $10,000 deal? Is it $100,000 deal? How much do your organizations pay you typically on average?
Yeah, on the high end, we have folks, deep into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And on the low end, we go down to like $5,000 a year and a lot of stuff in between. So it's pretty
and
wide.
What's that median look like? Something that you sort of focus on a regular basis?
Maybe 15,000 a year, $12,000 a year. That's yeah. It's a lot of everything, to be honest.
It always is. I'm just sort of trying to understand your sales motion, because I'm going to ask a lot of questions there. Trying to get a sense of what that deal looks like.
Our scatter plot is all over the place, but you could imagine that, it's a higher volume of deals on the lower end, medium to lower end, and a smaller volume on the higher end. Though we would like, that would be amazing if it was reversed, but it seems to be the way of the world.
And then approximately how much revenue are you doing today? Like, approximate numbers totally work, just to get a sense of where you are as this company.
I'm going to be intentionally vague just because we don't publicize our revenue, but we're below 10 million in recurring revenue.
Are you above $5-6 million? Is that?
You could infer that if you wanted to.
Sure.
But
yeah. I think that's more than enough for me, right? So just sort of get a sense of how you're growing as well, right? So over the past 12 months,
we've been growing since our inception. We've been growing around 100% year over year and sustain. I mean, early on, law of small numbers, we had 1 year where we went from 40K to 400K and that was 10X. But it's after our initial kind of pop, we've been sustaining about, 2X year over year.
Got it. Right. So enough about the numbers, right? So I want to understand what's happening and what's working for you, right? So over the past 12 months, right? So just help us understand where you're getting all of these new customers from, right? What's really been working for you purely from a top of funnel perspective? Where are they discovering you?
Yeah. There's no silver bullet right now. I think the product has built in network effects. So there's a ton of word of mouth. If you are a talent agent and you use Prism and the promoters are using Prism, you want the promoters to use Prism because it saves you massive amounts of time and it's a better tool organization. So there's a lot of multi-sided pressure to join the network. Then we're leaning in on that more and more and more. Some of the best, if you can pull it off, the best marketing strategy is product, and all the paperwork that leaves Prism has our logo on it and our marketing website. So we generate a lot of marketing just through product use, which is fantastic. But then we do traditional marketing, SEO, SEM, and we have sales reps go to conferences. We have sales reps work relationships and I do a podcast similar to you do here and blast out to the network. And we try to leave no stone unturned in terms of top of funnel strategies.
All right. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a bit tougher question here, right? So if you were to pick two channels that you would really not want to sort of invest your time into, right? What are those two channels which contributed to most of this, brand awareness or, new customers coming through that funnel?
Well, what are the two that
top two.
If I had to pick two?
Yeah, that's really been working for you.
Product marketing. And I'd say it's a toss up between conferences and SEO and SEM.
Got it. All right, so now let's sort of understand a bit about your product marketing here, because that's something that's unique that I've seen over, with respect to your company. Just talk about how it all works, right? So the way I'm understanding, you sell your product to a bunch of business users, and they sort of onboard more people into the network and they sort of start seeing it, and then that sort of spirals up. Like, what, how does it exactly work? Can you just explain that?
Yeah.
You know, visibility.
So when you're planning one concert, you have, oversimplified, you have the venue and then you have the talent agency, and the venue and the talent agency coordinate an amazing amount of details. Like the first thing they do is generate like a pro forma of the show. We call it an offer, and it lays out all the financials of the event. And they send that to the agent. The agent, if they're not using Prism, the agent like just kind of copies and pastes that information into their system, generates a contract with all the, and these deal points have like probably 30 deal points that are meaningful and matter. So the data entry is extremely tedious. And then all through the life cycle of the event, they're just doing all these things that, you know, a software platform can handle really easily. But if they're not connected, like it just turns out to be a bunch of emails. So if the venue and the agent is both using Prism, the deal points are all translated perfectly. The ticket sales update in real time. The settlement numbers update in real time. The payment information. I mean, it's a 9-day difference from when two people are using Prism compared to like when one is using Prism and one is not. So it's like implicit network effects. There's not like an explicit way for someone to say, hey, just join Prism here without like talking to us. And perhaps we'll get into that more and more. But right now it's like very much like, it's our partners want their partners to join Prism and go through our onboarding process so that it's easier to do business together. So that's what
you have a talent partner as a customer. So naturally they end up sort of, you know, bringing all of this venue managers to your platform as well, right? And the reverse also works.
Yeah. And then it's just an amazing amount of word of mouth. Like when we're, you know, now that we're successful in Austin, Texas, like the people who all run venues in Austin, like know each other really well. And they're like, hey, you should use Prism. We use Prism. It's like massively helpful. And at first, sometimes they were caught. They're like, oh, they saw it as an advantage. They're like, oh, I don't know if we want to tell anyone about Prism because we want it for ourselves. But over time, folks realize that the more people use it, the better the system gets. And yeah.
And so that makes a lot of sense. Let's talk about the sales cycle here, right? So when somebody starts discovering it, what does it take for you to sort of close that $50,000 deal that you talked about?
Yeah, I mean, once again, our scatter plot is like very diverse. But, you know, if we cut through it, it averages about 45 days. And it's exactly what you think you would. Like the typical small deal closes in 30 days. The typical big deal might close in 90 days. But then there's examples of both flip-flopping. So, you know, like, yeah, once again, the mean cutting through the noise is smaller deals take quicker, larger deals take longer. But we do have a lot of like deviation in our mean.
And then what happens during this sales process as such, right? So what exactly are you trying to sort of, how exactly are you showcasing the value, right? Is your customer switching from sort of Excel's and, you know, Google Docs to sort of your platform, or do you have any competitor out there that you want them to switch from? Like, what exactly happens? How do you convince them?
Yeah, recently I finally hired like professional sales, and you know, that's been a really eye-opening experience for me, because I think, you know, I think the biggest thing that he's instilled, his name's Dustin Duvanich, he's instilled like this idea of price validation in our sales reps, and like really kind of making a business use case around like, hey, like you have a workflow right now that is the core flow of your business, and it takes a certain amount of hours to do it the way that you're doing it, and to generate a certain amount of output. And how much would it be worth if you dramatically reduce the number of hours and dramatically increase the throughput, and then, you know, backing into price based off of that. And you know, at first it was hard to get Prism sold for $1,000 a year or $3,000 a year. Maybe that was the fact that we just were extremely early. But I think, you know, we didn't do the best job of validating like why a price really makes sense. But you know, to start getting like $30,000-$40,000 contracts, one way we started talking about it is like, all right, look, like if you don't spend $30,000 in Prism, like let's say you go and hire someone for $30K, like what realistically can one $30K a year employee do for you? What is the value you're going to get out of Prism? Like, do you care about your profitability? Do you care about getting time back? So it is a more sophisticated sales pitch that we've developed over time, and it works. It works really well. Yeah. And I didn't quite believe it at first. I was like, very much just like, build the best product and they will come. And I think that's true to a certain extent. But people also won't pay you your value unless you ask for it.
All right, Matt. So let's go back to 2016, 2017, like during this first couple of years, right? So just talk about how you got those first 10 odd customers.
Yeah, 2017, 2018, 2016 were still a glimmer in my eye. but we had a flagship customer we were building for in 2017, and it was important for me to just get a few others in. Like, one was absolutely committed, and I had probably five that were like weighing in on specific things, and I was meeting with them consistently, and that was huge.
How did you knew them, basically? How did you knew them?
Because I was booking shows in Austin, so I had built up a network of venue owners and just found the most kind of tech-savvy one. You know, for me, having five was great, but having one that was like, I'm going to push my team through jumping on here before it's ready. I'm going to push you to get it ready to have my team jump on, but then when it's like good enough, I'm going to like, you know, maybe swallow some grief for my team of them being slightly more inefficient at first, trusting that you'll be able to adapt and make them more efficient. That's always been extremely useful for us. And that, like, you know, lighthouse customer that's willing to endure some pain. Mm-hmm. And we've used that in other customer segments now as well. I would say we have about five or six unique customer segments, and each one I can point to like an original lighthouse customer in those situations that just wanted it so bad that they were willing to go through the pain management of switching and having something that was nascent. And I think the art of that is just really good communication and being clear, like, hey, and then just following through, like having real talk with the engineering team and saying, hey, like, you know, we really have to rapidly develop with these folks. Like, we have to find a way to get them quick solutions. Like, they're taking a leap of faith with us. We can't leave them hanging and say,
Matt, one question here, right? So when did that transition happen? Right. And like, for example, when did it go from you founder led sales to your team sort of closing that deals? So like when you were doing that, right? So what channels have worked for you, right? So what was that first marketing channel that sort of bought you more leads and that you were able to close without you not having to use your own network?
The first 20 deals was me. I closed personally, and it was me going to conferences and relationships.
Yeah. And after that 20, right? From between 20 to 50, what's that?
Yeah. You know, then I'd say we started developing SEO and SEM and just showing up on search engine marketing. And that's never been a silver bullet for us, but it's consistently high quality leads. For a long time, I wouldn't claim that we've done anything inventive around getting ourselves out there. It's just hiring good reps that are showing up to conferences and building relationships and then, you know, creating word of mouth from the product. And then it's just kind of snowballed. Yeah. It's been a overnight success that took 8 years, or not eight, but like six at this point. Yeah.
So Matt, like, talk about your team today, right? So how many folks do you have on your team and what do they do?
26 primarily, you know, 17 in product and engineering, six in sales and go to market, and then three in customer success.
So were you always building the product in-house, or did you ever sort of outsource it, or always? And
always.
What was the reason there? Why didn't you sort of explore sort of?
Well, we are nothing but a product, you could boil down, like, yeah, we have a good team, but it's the good team is only there because of the product. And it's the core of what we do. Like, I think everyone at the company works on the product, whether you're in customer support or you're in sales and you're getting new people to use it. So the most direct thing you can do to work on the product is build it. And I mean, we take every engineering decision extremely seriously, from architecture to code review to QA. I never felt like I could outsource my secret sauce. Like, it's not even been an option for me. Like, not even close.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Quality over quantity, you know, because we're a tech company. We're not like, to outsource my product, I think would just be a, like, I like that would be a house of cards in my perspective. It's like, yeah. I'm like brewing beer, but I don't know how to make beer, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And how much money have you raised in external funding so far?
We just closed $5 million Series B. I mean, that puts us up to like $15 million total.
Mm-hmm. All right. So like one last question here, right? What's the vision here, right? Where do you see your company going like five, six years down the line, right? What's the big vision here?
I think I'm more so like a 2 to 3 year type person right now. Sure. And 2 to 3 years, the main vision of Prism is to create a platform shift in the live music industry such that like it's not like you're using something like Prism to run your business. And I think we're about 3 years away from doing that. And like it just being so aggressively good that, you know, an overwhelming percent of the industry is using Prism as an industry standard. And it's a fully robust network system and payments are flowing through Prism. So I think that's like mission one. And there's a lot of unknowns. It's hard to see around that corner. Like I'm really got my head down. Like I know that could be a launch pad for many other products and acquisitions and all that. I don't fully know what's on the other side of this horizon that we're approaching. But that's what I see in the next 3 years happening with us. And I gotta, you know, is that 50 million recurring revenue? Is that 80 million? Is that, you know, 120? You know, how
profitable you've got to give me a number here, right? So
I don't fully know yet. I don't fully know yet. I mean, we will find out. I mean, I think it has potential to be without evolving the product. I think it has potential to be in the hundreds of millions. But you know, I also like, you know, we'll see how many professional venue organizers are out there. I've got numbers on a spreadsheet, but that's numbers on a spreadsheet. Let's see what actually happens.
Yeah. All right, Matt, thanks for taking the time to talk to me. Hope you scale Prism to much, much greater heights.
Thank you. God willing. Appreciate it.